Lessons from Daniel by David Franklin. Preface. Editor's note. We appreciate the work Brother David Franklin has put forth to write this study book. Introduction. In considering any scripture prophecy, we must keep in mind the Holy Spirit's purpose in the giving of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, verse 10. Peter said about Jesus, "To him give all the prophets witness." Acts 10, verse 43. With these statements, the specific purpose of prophecy is made clear. It tells us of Jesus. However, the context of this revelation of Jesus Christ is the foretelling of future events, a subject which is very exciting to the natural or carnal mind. For this reason, prophecy is often taught in a sensational manner. The earthly events foretold are given first place instead of being made a backdrop to display the glory of the Lord. By this wrong emphasis, much of the character of Christ remains only half revealed before the eyes of God's people. This was not God's desire when by His Spirit He gave these words to men. Do not then read these lessons from Daniel with a carnal excitement, merely for the purpose of hearing some new thing. Instead, look for the familiar Christ in every scene. The great events prophesied here must be dealt with, of course, but He is at the heart of all events, causing, permitting, using, and controlling them. They show His power, authority, wisdom, and purpose in a way that only Spirit-given prophecy can do for the present. The events foretold will come and then be over. What you learn of Christ will last eternally. To these general thoughts on prophecy, we may add a few preliminary thoughts concerning the book of Daniel specifically. The last six chapters of this book are almost entirely given to what we normally think of a prophecy, but the first six chapters are largely a record of events which took place in Daniel's day, yet the entire 12 chapters are prophetic. Many times in the Old Testament, animals and physical objects took on prophetic meanings as the Spirit employed them for His own purpose. Lambs became a picture of Christ's meek submission in sacrifice. A great boat of gopher wood constructed by Noah became a figure of the protection from judgment which is found in Christ. These and other Old Testament types show that prophecy need not always be expressed by words alone. Many times also actual happenings in the lives of God's people became prophecies. Abraham offered up Isaac and, in a figure, received him from the dead. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. What a picture of the offering and resurrection of Christ! Ezekiel acted out many of his prophecies as the Lord told him what to do. In these and other cases, both man and event were incorporated into something which transcended either. They became prophecy. In Daniel's lifetime, about 600 years before Christ, God brought about a change in the national situation of Israel, which has never been altered in all the years since. Israel ceased to be an independent nation and fell under the domination of the Gentiles. Even when Cyrus allowed those Jews who wished to do so to return to the land of promise, they continued to be under the authority of Gentile kings. Today, at the end of this age, Israel is again reaching out for an independent position in the world, and yet Israel depends upon the support of friendly Gentile governments for its national survival. What took place in Daniel's day, then, set in motion certain forces and established certain relationships which can still be observed in our day. Daniel became a prophetic picture of the godly Jew living under the rule of unbelieving and sometimes hostile Gentiles. He was not just a figure or symbol of what godly Israelites would have to face under Gentile dominion. He lived the reality of it. Thus, at the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, of which we will say more later, Daniel's life served as a means to show by prophetic parallel what Israel may expect to face. Before we leave this thought, it would be well to ask the question, who is the Israel to whom the lessons of Daniel are directed? This may seem to be a question whose answer is so simple that asking it is absurd. Not so. Paul said, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children." Romans 9 verses 6 and 7. We must begin answering our question with the knowledge that the Jew has no special place of privilege during the course of this age. Some have referred to people of Jewish extraction who have received Christ as completed Jews. That term has no more validity than completed Irishman or completed American. Salvation is not a matter of completing an unfinished work in either Jew or Gentile. It is a starting over. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17a. And where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Colossians 3:11. So you see, during the church age, when true godliness comes in, the one who used to be a Jew is now something quite different in Christ. Even the oft-quoted phrase, "to the Jew first and also to the Gentile," is for the course of this age more a historical fact than a matter of doctrine or practice. The book of Acts closes with Paul's expressing what he knew to be an age-lasting finality in Israel's national rejection of Christ, saying, "Be it known therefore unto you," that is, because of their unbelief, "that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Acts 28, verse 26. This does not exclude the Jew, for Paul also said, "Hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite." Romans 11, verse 1. It is simply that all men are on an equal plane of opportunity, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans 10, verse 12. Now, if not all are Israel, simply on the basis that they are of Israel, and if the Jew who is saved in this age ceases to have, in the eyes of God, any distinction from the saved Gentile, and if, for the course of the church age, the Lord sees no difference between the unsaved Jew and the unsaved Gentile, if all these things be true, whose difficulties are foreshadowed and prophesied in the person of Daniel? Simply stated, the diminished identity of the Jew is not a permanent feature of God's plan. This age is about to come to an end. It will end with the Lord's coming back for a people prepared for his call. At that time, the destiny of the nation of Israel will once again come center stage in the manifested workings of God's will. A Gentile usurper will arise, claim worldwide authority, and begin to persecute God's people. Some of the Jews will compromise with this man, but some, having recognized him, will separate themselves. We shall see these things in Daniel's writings. It will be this latter company of godly Israelites who will see the final lessons of Daniel fulfilled in the earth. The Bible does not lead us to believe that any church age believers will be on earth during that period. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Romans 2:29. God will never lower his spiritual standard so as to deal with men only on the basis of their national origin. Even in that time to come, when Israel will regain a national spiritual place of prominence, God will require a separation of heart, separation unto Christ. See Philippians 3, verse 3. If Daniel's life foreshadows and announces anything or anyone, and it does, then it speaks to saved Israelites at the beginning of the next age. Yet this book is not admonition to the Jews only. The Gentile characters in this book are given an unusual prominence. In fact, a major portion of this book, Daniel 2, verse 4 through 7:28, is written in a Gentile language. Daniel stands alone in the Old Testament in containing such a clearly directed message to the Gentiles. Others spoke of Gentile affairs and sometimes pronounced prophecies of judgment upon them. Jonah even preached old Nineveh into a state of repentance. Nevertheless, Daniel, by reason of place, time, language, and the character of his prophecies, has a message concerning the course of Gentile civilization that no other Old Testament prophet gives. This book tells us Gentiles what we may expect for the course of the times of the Gentiles. And if we are wise and receive it, this book will tell the Gentiles just who it was that put the reins of government into their hands and who will give those reins back to Israel. I trust that you will enjoy the study of the book of Daniel. As stated earlier, it is my desire to go beyond merely studying events, and it is my hope that you will take the same look-behind-the-scenes viewpoint with me. It is not that, for certain purposes, a study of another sort would be unprofitable or incomplete, not at all. But here we desire to delve into the more eternal aspects of God's prophetic purpose. Finally, read these lessons as they are written with a Bible close at hand for the reading of the scriptures commented on or referred to in the course of our studies. God's Word has power to effect spiritual change in your life. No comment on Scripture can ever have the force or authority of the Bible itself.